can scream and shout with all your might. Dig in your heels and hold on tight. Either you are wrong or I am right.
Ah, crud. I just got comfortable and I realized the water bottle is out of reach. Hang on, I'll be right back. Just in case you're feeling confused, this is Stating the Obvious, brought to you by the Senate Libertarian Society, and I am the Great One himself. And yes, I'm right, and I'm always right, and I've always been right, and I'll always be right, and this is the cruise missile of my intellect, yada yada, yada yada, cynlibsoc.com. God, dog spelled backwards, G-O-D, at cynlibsoc.com. is where you email what passes for your thoughts and your feedback. Had a good day today. It's Saturday, the 29th, I think, of what, June? Went to the farmer's market this morning, bought some tomatoes, some delicious tomatoes, and bought some squash. And also bought some pie. There's this vendor there. She sells her homemade pies. So she sells the entire pie or she sells slices. I buy the slices. That's my breakfast on Sundays. That little pause was me adjusting the computer. She already knows me as the pie for breakfast guy because I discussed with her that where I'm from in Texas, we do in fact have pie for breakfast. If it's fruit pie or pecan pie, it is a completely acceptable form of breakfast food. So then after that, I took a little bike ride, rode out to a friend's house. She lives out in the country, 16 miles out, 16 miles back. And it was a good ride, and I get illustrated for me why there's so much wrong with so many people, especially the quote-unquote young people, the medicated generation, as I refer to them, the people under 30. I've been saying that for a few years, which means some of those people who used to be under 30 are now over 30. At some point, I'm going to have to establish what year the medicated generation was actually born and start referring to it in a different way. Because at this point, it's safe to say the medicated generation includes some people who are 34 or younger. I saw one of those little pictures on Facebook a while back. You know, the ones, the little snotty, snidey, snarky e-cards that are going around. And this one said, you know, when I was a little kid or when I was your age or whatever, our social networking was called outside. I think there's something to be said for this. You kids today, get off my lawn. I know I find it amusing that I sound like that. I don't really care, because it is true. And I know every generation has always complained about the younger generations. We can read, you know, the writings from the Greeks and the Romans where the old people were writing about how the kids these days are all going to hell in a handbasket. And by the way, this issue of stating the obvious is going to perhaps be a little more on the fly than normal. Because let's talk about that for a minute. I'm sidetracking already, which is not unusual. From the dawn of time, you know, the old people have always thought, you know, those young kids, they have their heads up their ass, they're going to ruin the world, everything's going to go to shit. And yet, it never really seems to go to shit. And then, this is a thing, the young kids right now, like the medicated generation right now, so the old people, you know, think the kids are going to destroy everything, and when they're running the world, everything's going to fall apart, and they don't do this, and they have no respect, and all this other shit, right? The young kids, of course, like, let's look at the medicated generation. They think they're the smartest generation ever. You know, they think that they're going to change the world. They think that they're going to make everything better. They think that, oh, everything is fucked up right now because all these old people are in charge. And as soon as we are in charge, right, you know, it's right now the old people control the state. And so that's why taxes and Monsanto and corporations and wars and indefinite detention and TSA touching little boys' penises and all this other stuff, right? All of that is because of the old people who currently run the state. But oh, when we the young people, when we the medicated generation, when we Gen Y, when we the smartest generation ever, oh, when we're in charge, everything's going to be great. Fifty years from now, the medicated generation people, I use the term people loosely, are going to be the old people who are standing around going, these kids these days, when I was young, we had to type on our cell phone with two fingers. Now they just think about it and the text goes out and they don't know, and it's everything's gonna go to shit because they don't respect their, and you know, and the medicated generation thinks I'm making this up, of course. In the whole truth behind this cycle isn't that things are fucked up because the old people are in charge. Nor is the truth behind the cycle that these young kids are gonna fuck everything up when they're in charge and they don't know anything and they disrespect their elders and everything's going to shit. The truth is that the state destroys everything it touches, okay? And the truth is that kids always come up thinking they know more, thinking they're going to change the world, thinking things are going to be better. Old people always think the kids are disrespectful. They always think the kids are idiots. They always think the kids are going to destroy the world when they get in charge of everything. And so it goes on and on and on. And there's some truth to this because, of course, in the sense that both sides support the state and both sides fit into these stereotypes. Because back when I was a kid, when I'd walk 25 miles uphill, just kidding. There's not really a story that follows that. I just felt like throwing that in. Having said that, I think every younger generation does bring with it change. Change! Oh, hope and change and forward. Oh, God, fucking Obama. every upcoming generation brings some fucking change with it. And sure, the old people resist this because humans resist change. It's what they do. I know, like right now, the medicated generation thinks they're just the greatest thing in the world, and they think, and it's interesting that to hear them talking about how change and changing the world and how flexible they are and some other shit. Ask any of them to give up their Gmail account and see how fucking flexible and interested in change they are. So every young generation that comes up brings with it changes to society, changes to the world, you know, changes to morality. For example, we see right now that, you know, homosexuality becoming more and more approved of, marriage for homosexuals becoming more and more approved of. We see marijuana use becoming more and more approved of, right? So the old people who are used to an environment where those things are frowned upon, and people who engage in those behaviors, smoking marijuana or having homosexual sex, you know, are people that can be suppressed, people that can be, you know, attacked, even imprisoned for doing these things. And this is always going to happen because when the medicated generation is old, I mean, so let's look at the things the medicated generation doesn't like. They don't like guns, right? They don't like group marriage. Homosexual marriage is okay. So if two guys want to get married, they're completely okay with that. But if three men wanted to get married, oh, this shit would hit the fan. You know, they're certainly against the idea of paying for their own health care. So when they're old, when these people are 60 years old, and if the generation coming up is saying, hey, you know, we think we should be able to walk down the street with a gun, and we believe in gay marriage, these little fuckwads in the medicated generation, when they're 60 and 70 years old, are going to be sitting around screaming about how, why, when that generation, they have no morals, and they think three people should be able to get married, and they want to have guns, and oh my God, they're so terrible. And this is always going to happen. Okay, it's not that the generation coming up today is the stupidest, even though I call them the stupidest generation, and I'm about to say they're not, then later on I'm going to talk about how they are. They're in this sense, they're not the stupidest generation. They just see things differently, the same way every other fucking group of 20 to 30 year olds before them has seen things differently. And the old people from 60 to 70 don't fucking want things to be any way other than the way they want it to be, just like every fucking group of people before them from 60 to 70. And yes, we're generalizing. Some fuckwad is going to leave a comment on YouTube about how I'm labeling people. And God, fuck. Just all of you on YouTube, just fuck off and die. People who comment on YouTube are the least intelligent people on the planet. Go and read the comments on my channel and it'll prove it to you. So every upcoming generation brings with it changes. That's neither good nor bad. It's a fact. It can't be denied. I doubt that it will ever change. And you can always have subjective opinions about whether or not those changes are good or bad. The question is, can we arrive at any objective opinions about whether or not those changes are good or bad? I think we can, to an extent. With the disclaimer, to an extent, what I mean by that is, in some things, I mean, like, for example, art. You can't really come to something like that. But I think there are some ways we can look at the medicated generation and assert that, yes, they are, in fact, the dumbest generation. And there's books written about this. One of them is called The Dumbest Generation. Another one is called The Shallows, What the Internet is Doing to Our Minds or Brains or something like that. Just look for The Shallows, Nicholas Carr. I don't want to be all doomsayer. By the way, what's that book I'm reading now? Who Owns the Future? It's by the same guy who wrote You Are Not a Gadget. And it's a good example of, I think he might be older than somebody I would classify as medicated generation, but you can tell he's still medicated generation, at least mentally, if not in actual age. In the book, he identifies a lot of problems. However, of course, the solution for all the problems is always more state, more government, more laws, more regulations, more taxes, more people in jail. And I love how these idiot statists love to quote Albert Einstein when he said that the type of thinking that got us into a problem isn't the type of thinking that will get us out. And so, of course, every time there's a problem, what do? They think about the state, which has never worked yet. But I digress. The medicated generation, due to their reliance on and attachment to and constant exposure to the internet and social media, is adapting to this environment in ways that are making them the dumbest generation. Their ability to focus on something for a long period of time, their ability to gain an in-depth understanding of something, all of this is hindered. You know, it's the example I've used before. If you want to know the gestation period of a blue whale, you go to Google, you type in what is the gestation period for blue whale, you know, whatever, it's some research terms. You hit enter, it throws back some stuff. You click on the very first link. Virtually everybody, it's been shown over and over and over again. Everybody clicks on the first link that comes up. Nobody goes to the second page, except me. When I use Google, I often go to the second page, sometimes even the third or fourth. You click on the first link that comes up from Google, and you scan down until you see the gestation period of a blue whale is X number of days. And you say, oh, okay, that's what it is. And what you have here is a very shallow understanding. You don't know anything else about blue whales. You don't know anything about the context of blue whales. You know nothing about the development of blue whales. You know, I mean, you know nothing. You know the number of days for which is the gestation period of a blue whale. And of course, the assumption here is that the website that you just looked at has the correct information. And why are you assuming that? Well, it's number one on Google. It must be true, right? There's the unspoken assumption there. And of course, Google's algorithms are unknown to the public. And so how a site ends up being number one on Google, while certainly, you know, there are theories, and yes, you can manipulate SEO and blah, 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 be number one, blah, blah, blah. Nobody really knows what's going on with that. Nobody really knows what Google is automatically removing. The other thing about the internet, too, and this is why I've heard a number of people say books are dying. And I think to an extent they're right, but I think books are going to be like vinyl albums in the future. Only people who, for lack of a better term, and this is really loose, only people who have who give a shit and have serious aesthetics are going to have books, just like only those people are going to have albums. Here's the thing about books. Books are permanent. When somebody writes a book, and I buy that book and I put it on my shelf, nobody can go back and change it. With the internet, things can be changed at any given moment, and most likely nobody's going to know it. And this is important. For example, here's why this is important. Global warming. Yes, global fucking warming. Our newest religion. The global warming wackos have never been right about a prediction yet. Not once. If you look at all the charts and graphs they've put together over the years, saying in the future, this is how much the temperature is going to go up, blah, blah, blah. They've been wrong every time. Now, go try to find that information on the internet. You're not going to find it because they take that information off the internet because they don't want anybody to find it, because that will show that they've never been right about anything. But if a global warming wacko writes a book and puts the chart in it, you then read the book 10 years later, you can see the chart was wrong. They can't go back and change it. And this is important. This is why I regularly read books that have been written years ago. The best example, I've talked about it before, Paul Ehrlich. Every 10 years, he writes a book about how everybody in the world is going to die of starvation because we can't feed them, right? He's never been right. I think it was his first book, either The Population Bomb or The Population Explosion. It was one of those. He predicted that by the year 1980, in the United States, we would run out of food. That there would, this is not an exaggeration, this is what he said, that in the major cities there would be riots. There would be people killing each other in the streets because there would not be enough food to feed people. Now, if you try to find evidence of this prediction on the internet, you're not going to find it, because the internet can be changed at a moment's notice. Any wrong predictions can just be scrubbed. But in a book, you can't scrub it. You can read Paul Ehrlich's books, and you can see that everything he did, and again, credit where it's due, in this book, he did predict what he thought the population of the United States would be in 1980, and he was very, very close. He was very accurate about what he thought the population about that. But he was wrong about everything else. And this is important, because if people are wrong over and over and over, you need to stop listening to them. But you're not going to know people are wrong if you are the typical medicated generation person. If your only source of information is the internet, which is constantly being scrubbed to remove any information that might incriminate people, and if you can't remember things because of your short attention span, right? If you can't remember that in 1970, Paul Ehrlich predicted that in 1980, we were all going to die of starvation, you can't look at that and go, well, how the fuck is it 2013 and nobody's dying of starvation? Maybe Paul Ehrlich doesn't know what the fuck he's talking about. So getting all of your information from the internet, first of all, gives you the short attention span, because you only go looking for specific facts. You never go looking for the context. You never go looking for a deeper understanding of the topic. It also gives you this very cleaned up, scrubbed, you know, prettified version of everything that's presented for public display. You know, when you read somebody's book that was written 10 years ago, you can see the things they were right about, and you can see the things they were wrong about. And when you're finished, you can close the book and you can make a judgment. Okay, this person was 90% right. In the future, I can maybe think this person's going to have a 90% capability for predicting future. Or if the person's 90% wrong, the next time this person writes a book and says, oh, we're all going to die, you know, or I don't know, just what the fuck ever. You can take that with a little grain of salt, because you can say, hey, the last time this person wrote a book, he got 90% of it wrong. the medicated generation. They have no deep understanding, they have no context, and they have no perspective on history. Everything for them is right now. I mean, you know, things literally for these kids, you know, stuff is happening on the internet right now. Everybody's on Facebook sharing this one meme, whatever the fuck, which isn't even a meme anymore, but it, you know, the pictures with the text on it. Yeah, you know, and it's like 3 days later, they're like, oh yeah, that's over, that's out. I mean, their attention span is zero. This is how Obama can get away, of course, with saying things like change. I mean, none of them can remember him saying he was going to shut down Guantanamo Bay. None of them can remember him saying he's going to legalize marijuana. Right? You know, none of them remember him being against the Patriot Act. None of them remember him being against the war in Iraq, which he tried to negotiate with the government of Iraq to keep troops over there even longer. We only pulled out of Iraq when we did because of the treaty or agreement, whatever it would technically be called, that the Bush administration signed with the government of Iraq. He wanted to keep troops there longer. And had he done so, everybody would have been fine with it. The other problem with the medicated generation, and this is not new to them. I mean, this has been building for a long time. This came with the advent of the public school system. But it's becoming worse and worse and worse in the medicated generation, where you see the college students and their sense of entitlement. You see, you know, them needing bills passed so that, oh, they don't have to pay back their student loans and they can stay on their parents' insurance. And I know a 16-year-old girl, she's 17 now, she is 16 when I met her, who already has a fucking therapist. Therapist, by the way, is spelled the rapist. You see it in, I mean, I've actually talked to high school students that are standing there talking to me with their finger up their nose, digging out booger nuggets. You see it in their inability to interact with other people in real life and their social situations. They are very immature. Their maturity is literally retarded. And I'm using the word retarded for what the fuck it means. If you don't know what the word retarded means, Google it. Because that's what people do now. Nobody, I have a dictionary. It's right here. Webster's New World Dictionary. Most of you don't know what that is. You would Google that word. And there you go. You will assume that whatever definition Google gives you at number one is the correct definition. Their maturity is retarded. It's retarded. It's retarded by two devices. One that's been around a long time, public school. The other one is the internet. Before public school, kids didn't have some kind of schedule and agenda for what to learn and when to learn it. And they weren't funneled into holding pens where there were 20 or 25 or 30 kids and one adult. Back in the day, you know, when everybody had to walk uphill to get air and it was snowing and it was 25 miles, kids were born and there was a family unit and there was some kind of society around that, a town, you know, what the fuck ever, maybe a city, a group of friends, there were perhaps a church, whatever. So there are all these different institutions, and so the kid would have two parents, a shocking concept today, I know. By the way, single mothers should not receive any fucking benefits for being single mothers. In fact, if anything, they should pay higher taxes than anybody else, but that's a different topic. I mean, if you women can't shut the fuck up about how you own your body and how, you know, your body is yours and how you could control your reproduction and shit, well, why do you keep having babies that you can't pay for? I don't fucking get that. If it's your body and you own it and you control it, then why do you have a fucking kid but you don't have enough money to pay for the kid and my tax money has to support your little fucking piece of shit? But that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about why your piece of shit child is a fucking emotional retard and a maturity retard. Emotionally, what's maturity? There's a word here. I don't know what the word is. I'm grasping for this word. It'll come to me after I'm finished recording. So back in the day, when everybody walked uphill 25 miles in the snow to have sex, the child was born. It had two parents. It had some grandparents. You know, it had some aunts and uncles. It had some people around it that worked with its parents. And so there was this network of adults around the child. And the child didn't go to a school and have an agenda about when and where and what to learn. The child pursued natural curiosities and things that came out of its surroundings, right? Your father is a blacksmith. You see your father blacksmithing. You learn about blacksmithing, right? Your uncle is a farmer. You see your uncle farming. You learn about farming. Now, am I saying this is the fucking perfect? No, no, no. For those of you who are stupid, which is most of you under the age of 30, I'm not saying this is the perfect world, okay? So if your uncle's a farmer, your daddy's a blacksmith, your mother's a seamstress, and you want to learn about aeronautical engineering, it's going to be a little difficult, right? Because if you don't have an aeronautical engineer around, how are you going to do that? Okay, so this is not perfect. There's a place in the society for institutions of higher learning and for, but, and of course, these existed. And then, of course, there's also the idea of apprenticeships, you know, going, finding somebody who does what you want to do and learning that. But we're not talking about advanced education here. We're talking about the young kids. We're talking about 18 and younger. Although, and of course, developmentally, you know, a 14-year-old from back then, back in the day when everybody walked uphill 25 miles to get sunshine, you know, a 14-year-old back then was probably emotionally and mentally and mature-wise equivalent to a 20-year-old today, or a 25-year-old today, for that matter. Because back then, you could sit around and suck off your parents' tits, you know, and live on college loans and act like a fucktard until you're 26 years old. You had to start pulling your weight a lot earlier. Now, of course, you know, some woman gets drunk, she fucks some guy, she didn't know his name, she gets pregnant, she's in control of her body, but she doesn't actually use birth control, even though there's like, what, 12 different forms of birth control available. And so she spits out a kid and she drop kicks it into the public school system, which is essentially just a daycare system for people who can't take care of their kids. And so the kid is stuck in this classroom with 20 other kids, one adult who doesn't really give a fuck and is, you know, in the lowest 20 percentile of the GPAs in the college she went to. And this kid is learning a lot of useless stuff. The kid's imagination is not being sparked. The kid is not allowed to pursue the things he's interested in. You know, the kid is basically treated like a prisoner and a cow in a stockyard. So his curiosity, his intelligence, all of these things are stunted and destroyed by the public school system. Now, furthermore, that's more on the intelligence. That factors in with the whole Google thing, shallow understanding, no context. But on the maturity side, on the emotional side, back in the day when you had to walk 25 miles uphill to eat food in the snow, that's walking in the snow and eating food in the snow. Back in the day, the children, well, certainly there were other children around, the children spent much of their time in the company of adults. All right, how do you learn maturity? You learn maturity by interacting with people older than you that's how you see what maturity is. You see examples of other people exhibiting maturity. And you learn maturity by interacting with people younger than you, because let's say you're 10 years old, so you're hanging out with your 30-year-old uncle. He's modeling what maturity is. You're watching him, you're learning from him. Then you're doing your thing later on, and you're in the company of a 4-year-old. Now the 4-year-old is looking to you, and children naturally want to be responsible, they want to help, they want to do things, they want to create things. I guarantee you 9 fucking times out of 10, children left to their devices don't turn into psycho killers or couch potatoes. Children left to their devices want to be active, they want to have fun, they want to learn, they want to participate, they want to help, they want to do these things. And this manifests naturally when you see the younger generation saying, you know, when we're in charge, things are going to get better. That's a natural manifestation of this. So this 10-year-old is here with the 4-year-old. His inclination, he's going to want to teach the 4-year-old. He is going to want to model for the 4-year-old, not model like fashion model, model maturity, you know, model what an adult should be like. He wants the 4-year-old to look up to him. He wants to care for the 4-year-old. He wants to lead the 4-year-old, right? All of this stuff comes naturally. Public school destroys this. You take all these, say, for we'll stick with 10 years old. You have a bunch of 10-year-olds. They're in a room together with who? Other 10-year-olds. And one adult who doesn't give a fuck. They have no example of what maturity is to look at. And they have no opportunities to exhibit mature behavior to people younger than them. And so as a result, this is why people have become more and more immature as time goes by. Because the public school system, by segregating people according to age, which is one of the great discriminations that is still absolutely permitted, right? If you said to somebody, I'm not going to, you know, go out with you because you're gay, it would be terrible and insensitive. But if you say to somebody, I'm not going to go out with you because you're not the right age, that's completely okay. You can absolutely, in our society, just shit in people's face because of their age, whether it's they're too young, they're too old, or whatever. This is the great discrimination that still exists. And it's because of the public school system. It's because we have accepted categorizing people by age groups to be completely acceptable and A-okay, and the way things are done. This comes, I believe, primarily from the school system where everybody's classified by age. And so their ability to develop maturity is retarded. Now, here's where we, back in the day, back when I was young, back when my social media was called outside, you went to public school for whatever the fuck it was. You know, it's been so long and I cared so little about high school that I honestly don't remember how many hours a day I was in high school. But after I got out of high school, and I vaguely remember junior high, I shouldn't say vaguely, I actually remember a lot of my school days. And there was a lot of good times too. A lot of fun stuff. Except my senior year sucked ass. Freshman, sophomore, and junior were fucking amazing. Had a great time. Senior year totally sucked balls. Anyhow, you get out of school. And you go out into the world. And you interact with other people. I have some nice sunburn from the bike ride. It is starting to kick in. And so you get to go out and interact with other people. People who are older than you. People who are younger than you. And you may not have been developing your maturity in the school environment, because you weren't, but you at least had the opportunity to develop your maturity outside of the school environment. Nowadays, 2013, medicated generation. When they're not in school, what are they doing? They're on the cell phone. They're on the Facebook. They're texting. And who are they making contact with on the cell phone, on the texting, on the Facebook? Who are they interacting with? They're interacting with their peers. They're interacting with people who are the same fucking age that they are. So in addition to not getting any interaction with people more mature than them and less mature than them while they're in school, they're also not getting any interaction with people more mature or less mature outside of school. And this is why they're even more emotionally retarded, and even more, their maturity is even more retarded than the previous generations. And you see this when you look at these kids, like the ones in college. I mean, they're just incapable of taking care of themselves in the most basic ways. I mean, I know I've told this story before, the 18-year-old girl who couldn't fucking read a bus schedule, who couldn't figure out what time to get on the bus in order to be at a particular destination by a particular time. And you, this lack of, you know, this is why, well, we need, you know, our student loans to be given to us for free or forgiven, you know, because we made these poor decisions about what classes to take and what majors to major in and what degrees to get, and we're never going to pay back our loan. You know, and we need to be on our parents' health insurance. You know, and we need Obamacare, and we need the government to tell us what's right and wrong. And you know, we need the government to make gay marriage legal so that we know it's right, you know, because we can't just live our own lives. And it's why 16-year-old girls have therapists. Did I mention that therapist is the rapist? This is why they can't function. And this is why, even though every old generation says, and these kids are coming up, they're all so stupid, they're going to destroy the world. And I don't think they're going to destroy the world. But what I do think is going to happen is that things are going to get worse. Because when these people are in charge, when the medicated generation is in charge, the people in charge, and of course the fact that somebody has to be in charge, that's the state. Right? I mean, if you think somebody has to be in charge, that's what makes you a statist. Right? The idea that there has to be a leader, you know, the president is the leader of the free world. Well, why does the free world need a leader? I mean, if they're free, people who are free don't need a leader. The fact that you need a leader tells us that you're not free. But you can't understand that because you're medicated. And because you're a statist. When the medicated generation is in charge, I mean, everything's not going to go to shit, but it's going to change. Now, will that change be for the better or for the worse? Well, that change is going to be based on a society in which people have very limited understanding of subjects. It's going to be a society in which people are even more emotionally retarded than they are now. It's going to be a society in which people are even more immature than they are now. It's going to be a society in which people have less sense of history, are completely incapable of remembering things that have happened in the past, and therefore being able to make accurate judgments about the future. You know, is everything going to fall down and we all collapse and we're all going to die? No, because there will always be, even in the medicated generation, there will be enough competent people, you know, to keep the electricity on and, you know, to dole out some form of health care, which very soon is simply just going to be taking drugs given out by the pharmaceutical corporations. So, I mean, there's always going to be enough competent, capable people to keep everyone from starving to death in the street, if for no other reason than democracy requires living bodies to vote so as to create the illusion that the masses who are being governed with their consent. Right, so the government will get worse and stupider as the medicated generation takes charge, but at the same time, the government is going to keep people alive because the medicated generation worship very highly at the altar of democracy. And so you have to keep large numbers of people alive in order to maintain the illusion of democracy and, you know, the consent of the governed. So what's the solution for all of this? Well, obviously it's George Bush's fault, because everything is George Bush's fault. That was a joke. There's not one solution, there's not a solution, and I'm not here to offer it, but I'm going to offer a thought. And this brings me back to the bike ride, which is what spurred all of this on. When I was your age, my social media was called Outside. And today, I went for a bicycle ride outside. Didn't sit in front of the computer, you know, masturbating on Facebook with other people in my peer group. I wasn't looking at little memes and laughing and shit. I was outside. I was in the sun, in the fresh air. I was getting physical exercise. I was moving my body. My blood was pumping. I was biking down roads and gravel roads in a place I'd never gone before, seeing new things. Saw a snake sitting in the road, sunning itself. Sadly, on the way back, I saw somebody had run over the snake and killed it. I went out to my friend's farm, saw some horses and some donkeys and some guineas and some chickens, some dogs. Talked to somebody who had found a lost dog and was trying to find its home. Biked back, got some sunburn, got some fresh air, got some exercise. Moved my body. Where the body goes, the mind follows. Where the mind goes, the body follows, right? The body is healthy, the mind is healthy. The body is invigorated, the mind is invigorated. If the body is fat, sitting on the couch, looking at fucking Facebook, eating Cheetos, the brain is going to be fat, sitting on the couch, looking at Facebook, eating Cheetos. Right, so step number one is go the fuck outside. And step number two is called alone. A lot of people don't like being alone. And I believe the reason people don't like being alone is because they don't like themselves. And I mean, look at a lot of the people you know, especially in the medicated generation. Look how stupid they are. Look how selfish they are. Look how statist they are. Look how full of hatred they are. Look how shallow they are. I mean, would you want to spend time with that person? I wouldn't. And they recognize in themselves, they recognize a person that isn't worth being around. And that's why they don't want to be alone. And on this bike ride, I was alone. And this is important. When I say alone, I don't mean alone with the computer on Facebook. I don't mean alone with the cell phone sending text messages. I don't mean alone with the iPod, or nobody actually uses iPods anymore, they use their cell phones. I don't mean alone with your cell phone listening to music. I biked 32 miles. No cell phone, no music. Me and my thoughts. And I thought. Penn Jillette told this story about how one time he was doing something and his friend came to the hotel room because, you know, he was doing whatever, he's in the hotel room. And so they're going to do some stuff, and Penn's like, hey, you know, I got to do some stuff. It's going to take me about an hour. I'm sorry, I got some books here. You can watch some TV, whatever you want to do. And Penn says, his friend said to him, she says, no, I'll just sit here and think. Thank you. And for an hour, she sat there while he did his stuff, and she just thought. And Penn said, this woman is still my friend to this day. And that's what is missing. The medicated generation, because of their emotional immaturity and because of their short attention span and because of their constant need for reinforcement of themselves and who they are and how great they are and how they're the smartest generation and their constant need for stimulus, the concept to them of being alone with themselves and just thinking, it's entirely foreign to them. I mean, you go to the average person under 30 and say to them, when's the last time you spent 30 minutes with yourself just thinking, not doing anything, just sitting there just thinking in your mind about, for example, why should Obama be the president? You know, why should we kill people for having a plant? Or why should people not be allowed to carry guns? How much time have you spent actually thinking about any of these kinds of issues? Or thinking about who you are, or just thinking about what you want to do and say to the world? How much time have you actually spent alone finding out who the fuck you are, communicating with yourself, examining the errors of your past, you know, assuming you haven't wiped them clean like happens to the errors of the past on the internet? How much time have you spent reflecting on yourself and spent with yourself in an honest way? And for most of them, I suspect that amount of time is very insignificant, because checking in on Foursquare is much more important than understanding why you support the President of the United States murdering people in foreign countries with flying robots.